This is the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, here to help you navigate and thrive with ADHD in adulthood. I'm your host, Zena, and I was diagnosed at age 36. As with many ADHDers, I have a rebellious and nonconformist style. And that means that there will likely be swearing in the coming episode. Please be mindful of any little people. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, where today we're going to talk about dopamine debt and how that relates to apathy. We'll also touch on burnout and addiction because it is all quite relevant. But before we dive in, I just wanted to share with you all, I'm in it today. What does that mean? I have had quite a tough day. I feel like I'm still in some fight or flight, and I have been using my coaching tools and soothing my nervous system. And I share that with you all because I think sometimes that when we listen to coaches or mentors or, you know, other people who are perhaps teaching us and educating us, that sometimes we think that they have it all figured out, or they are fixed, or haven't arrived at some, you know, magical place that we only dream of getting to. And I just want to say that that's not true. I actually had lunch today. I mean, by all appearances, I've had a good day, but there have been some very challenging elements. And I had lunch today with a beautiful friend of mine who alluded to the fact that she thinks she needs to fix something in her and then she'll be able to get to the place where I'm at. And I'm not at some magical place of having figured everything out in life and feeling happy 24/7. That place doesn't exist. I'm at the place of self-acceptance with a shit ton of incredible tools that make my experience of today not a problem, but something that I can navigate the tools and allow myself to feel and experience what I'm experiencing. Anyway, I'm going to probably go off on a tangent, so I'm just going to pull it up there and just say I wanted to share that with you all because it's okay to not be okay sometimes. And when you have a bad day, it doesn't mean you have a bad life. And today hasn't been all bad. There have been portions of it that have been hard and bad. And that does not mean I have a bad life. And I want to offer you that beautiful little reminder as well. All right, let's get to it, my friends. So in this episode today, we're going to talk about when our baseline levels of dopamine plunge into debt. Now, this is what experts call a dopamine deficiency. Some people may also refer to it as dopamine burnout, but it is separate to burnout, and we're going to talk about that. Or, as I like to call it, and one of my coaches and mentors calls it, dopamine debt. Okay. Now, it often presents as a constant state of apathy, feeling meh. Now, I'm going to share with you my story of being in and experiencing dopamine debt so that you can potentially relate to that and identify if it's something you might be in. We'll also talk about how to know if this is something you're in and how to try and tell the difference between being in dopamine debt or being in burnout, and also how the role of addiction plays in there as well. And of course, we're going to talk about how to rebuild your baseline levels of dopamine and what to do if this is something you are experiencing. Okay, so I just want to start with a real quick recap about dopamine. So those of us with ADHD, we have less dopamine than most people, okay? Dopamine is a neurotransmitter in our brain. So what that means is it's responsible for overseeing and doing many things, kind of like a conductor in an orchestra. So dopamine is responsible for motivation, drive, pleasure, desire, which is like the want to go and do things. It also plays a role in regulating our mood and emotional responses, as well as cognitive functions. So this is why those of us with ADHD can have challenges with executive functioning. Okay. It is often, dopamine is often referred to as the feel-good chemical because it does feel good. Okay. Now, the term dopamine debt, I have not found online. I believe it is a term that my coach and mentor, Megan Kerstead, coined. So I want to give her a shout out for that. And she was the one who actually first taught me about this concept and helped me to identify why I was in the state of apathy, which I was already starting to work my way out of, but really helped me to put a name and an understanding around it, which my aim is to do for all of you today. So how do you know if you may have a dopamine deficiency? So low dopamine symptoms can include a lack of enthusiasm for things that you usually enjoy or are usually interested in. So not really caring about them, not really being bothered by them. It can also include having a lower sex drive or very little interest in it. You may also experience some physical challenges such as issues with sleep or body stiffness and difficulty moving, perhaps some spasms or tremors in your body. Okay. So for me, I experienced apathy for a large portion of 2022. I would say maybe even a year I was in it. And one of the ways I knew I was in this was when my partner and I booked a trip to Hawaii. And I've been to Hawaii a few times. It's one of my favorite places in the world. And this is normally something that would really excite me and light me up. And I would be, you know, packing months before and thinking about all the things we're going to do and researching it and just be wildly excited. And I wasn't. And I remember my partner would ask me on multiple occasions, he asked me the question of, are you excited? Are you looking forward to it yet? And he was like a little kid in a candy store, like super excited. And I was like, not really, but you know I will be, or I know I'm going to enjoy it. Like, I knew I would enjoy the trip, but at no stage did I get excited. Did I feel that joy ahead of time that I have experienced before all of my trips to Hawaii and most of my trips overseas? That didn't happen. And that to me was a little unusual and strange. And that's when I started to really pay attention to it and notice that I was feeling apathetic about everything. Now, I've been coaching women around the world now for 8 years, and I love what I do. And another sign for me was that I just wasn't really that enthusiastic about helping people anymore. I just wasn't that lit up by it anymore. You know what? I just felt apathetic about it. Felt apathetic about helping people, about my business, about meeting up with my friends, about everything. Nothing excited me. I just felt like that often. And I remember waking up one morning at 3 a.m. and I was just lying there staring at the ceiling. And that's when it kind of hit me, you know what, I'm having issues with sleep as well. And I used to be such a good sleeper, but I'm having real trouble sleeping. And I started Googling, why do I feel apathetic all the time? I started to think there was something wrong. Maybe I needed some medication, or I needed something, because something was wrong. Now, for me, I knew it wasn't depression, although there are ties between dopamine deficiency and anxiety and depression, as well as ADHD and anxiety and depression. But I knew for me, and this may not be everybody's story, but it wasn't that. And I was worried. So I'm there and I'm Googling it, and I see this article that talks about, you know, there could be some links between menopause and apathy. And one of these things said, I kid you not, oh, it's something you could experience for 10 plus years. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? That's what I'm reading at 3 a.m. in the morning? And of course, that was like scary. And, you know, I was like, I don't want to be like this forever. Something's wrong. So that is when I started to really do my research and look outside of, you know, outside of myself and that for answers. And I started to speak to other coaches and other mentors and other experts in the industry to get some clarity around this. So let's talk about causes of low dopamine. So there are a number of factors that can be responsible for having a reduction of dopamine in our body. Now, of course, those of us with ADHD, we already have less than most people, but what can reduce it even further to the point where we can end up in a dopamine deficiency? And when I say that, it's like, think about we're an overdraft. Our bank balance has gone into the negative. That's what's happened to our dopamine levels when we've gone into a dopamine debt. Okay. So things that can cause this include sleep deprivation, obesity, addiction, excessive amounts of saturated fat, stress or burnout, which we're going to talk about in a moment. And I think that's it. I think that's everything on my list. So let's talk about what happens when you have too little dopamine in your system. Okay. So you might feel anxious or moody. That was me. I started to get some anxiety and I became very moody. Depressed or hopeless. I can kind of relate to that hopeless one for me. Forgetful. Definitely. Indifferent about things you used to enjoy. I think that that's a big kind of warning sign. Unable to concentrate, unable to sleep, unmotivated, uninterested in sex, and withdrawn or withdrawing. Now, here's the tricky thing, is that many of the things on that list are things that we as ADHDers may experience, okay? So those of us with ADHD are prone to experiencing anxiety and depression, to being forgetful, to, you know, having trouble with motivation or trouble sleeping, okay? Now, the difference is that the frequency of those things intensifies to a level where you start to worry or, you know, it could be potentially problematic. Okay, so although those are things that we with ADHD can experience, when it gets severe or very extreme, that is when it could quite likely be dopamine deficiency. All right, dopamine debt, I'm just swinging between the different names. Dopamine deficiency, if you were to Google it, that's probably a better way to do it, whereas dopamine debt is generally what I call it and what one of my colleagues calls it. So let's talk about addiction, because addiction can cause dopamine deficiency. So when we're addicted to something, we're addicted to the dopamine that we associate with it, the good feeling that we experience and therefore associate with the addictive behavior. And we can't talk about addiction without talking about the work of Anna Lemke and her book, Dopamine Nation. It is a fantastic book. I highly recommend it if you want to learn more about dopamine and addiction and ADHD, as we are prone to addictive behaviors because of the dopamine that we get. Okay, we tick all the boxes, my friends. So she talks about how dopamine is literally at our fingertips. We have the digital dopamine and it is more easily accessible and more addictive than ever before. And of course, by design with digital dopamine, it is designed to be addictive. It is designed for you to, you know, for one Netflix episode just to instantly play back to back to back, for our phones to be pinging and dinging and sending us little alerts all the time so that we're using them more and more and more. Okay. Now, my own addictions have included sugar. I've been highly, highly addicted to sugar to a problematic level. Online shopping is another one that I was addicted to. And also, or shopping in general, I should say, and Netflix. I have been, and this is still something that I'm very conscious and mindful of, because I can very easily use Netflix a hell of a lot, let's say. But I used to, when I first started my business, when I first went full time in my business, so I had been working part time in a leadership role and then part time in my business. And when I eventually left that role and went full time in my business, I found myself practically, you know, I'd have my laptop there, and then I would have my iPad next to me with Netflix or a TV show of some sort playing on it, practically 24/7. And I would walk around the house with it, and when I was making lunch, it would be in the kitchen with me, and then I'd walk around and take it back to my work desk, and it was to the point where it was addictive. Okay, I had it going 24/7. Now, when we become so addicted to something that we are dependent on it for a buzz or a good feeling, we are then relying on it for dopamine. And the more we do that, the more we eliminate other sources of dopamine, particularly healthy sources of dopamine. And in doing so, we can end up in a dopamine deficit. So to give you an example of this, I grew up with an alcoholic in my household, and it was very evident for him how dependent he was on alcohol for dopamine. So he would get home on a Friday night and he would drink until he was passed out. And then the next day, as soon as it hit 3 o'clock, he would start drinking again until he was passed out. And then he would go back to work on the Monday and be miserable Monday through Friday. And this eventually, he associated alcohol with the only way he could feel good, to the point where he actually started drinking at work, and it became incredibly problematic. And he didn't care about, you know, eating healthy or exercising or any of the other things that he used to enjoy. Those things all went out the window, and the primary focus was to get as much alcohol as often as possible, because that was the only way he was going to feel good. Okay, so in doing that, what he created was a severe dopamine deficiency, and he wasn't getting nearly as much pleasure from the alcohol. He needed more and more of it to try and get that same buzz that he associated with it. And every time it would wear out of his system, he would drop his baseline level of dopamine down severely. And eventually it just wore the levels of dopamine down, 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 till there was really nothing left. For more of an understanding around, you know, the basics of dopamine and what I mean when I'm talking about baseline levels of dopamine, I highly recommend you check out part one and part two dopamine episodes that we have. I think it's around about episode 12 and 13 of this podcast, Navigating Adult ADHD. Okay. So that's a bit of a introduction to how addiction can also play a role in creating a dopamine debt for us. So let's talk about burnout. So burnout is a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by prolonged stress. And this is becoming increasingly prevalent in today's fast-paced society. Those of us with ADHD are even more prone to burnout, unfortunately, because of the neurotypical expectations we have of ourselves and society has of us. So that means that we often put a lot of additional pressure on ourselves, or additional pressure from external places may be put on us to live up to neurotypical standards. So what I mean by that is, you know, we often think that we need to have a clean and tidy house in case somebody pops around, or we can't have anyone to stay unless our, you know, all of our things are in order and we're clean and tidy. And yet that is something that can be quite stressful for us, is cleaning and tidying and maintaining a house and having the washing done and the dishes away and all of that. So that can produce a lot of stress for those of us with ADHD when we're trying to live up to and maintain neurotypical standards. Okay, so when we talk about burnout, I got a list of symptoms from Psychology Today that can occur as a result of burnout. Okay, so these are physical fatigue, lowered self-worth, changes in eating, social withdrawal, sleep disorders, anxiety, and depression. Now, you might be going, hey, those sound like symptoms of ADHD and things that, you know, people with ADHD can also experience, and you would be right. So that list is all things that those of us with ADHD can experience as a result of having ADHD. So we can experience challenges with sleep because we have less dopamine and less serotonin, which supports sleep. We can experience lowered self-worth because of the amount of criticism and negative messages that we have had growing up as a person who is wired differently, whether or not we knew that, okay? we can have challenges with eating. For me, it was binge eating and going to food for a source of dopamine and overeating and constantly eating, you know, high sugary foods. For other people with ADHD, it's often, or it can be, forgetting to eat for hours at a time. We can, you know, also experience anxiety and depression. And when it comes to social situations, we can have challenges with making and maintaining friends. That's our last episode, I think. Yeah, episode 23 was all about friendship and the challenges that ADHDers have with friendships. So, you know, these symptoms that are the result of burnout and may you may experience if you have burnout are also things that we can experience with ADHD. Okay, you seeing the overlap here? So what I also want to say is burnout doesn't always lead to dopamine depletion, but it can lead to dopamine depletion. And I haven't found any research that talks about how often, how frequent burnout with ADHD is specifically, all of that. Okay, so there are still some questions that I have around this, but I do have some good news. Okay, now, whether you are experiencing burnout, you think you may be experiencing burnout, or you might be experiencing dopamine debt, or think, you know, that that's a possibility. The good news that I have for you is that the recommendations for how to, for how to rebuild your dopamine levels and how to work your way out of burnout and like replenish your system that way, the recommendations are the same for both. Okay, so that's the good news, is even if you aren't able to identify exactly which source here it is coming from, the recommendations for, you know, building yourself back to some form of, and I use air quotes, normalcy. That is a word, right? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, it is the same recommendations. Now, I do want to say, if you are experiencing depression or you are experiencing anxiety, I do recommend you speak with a medical professional. I am not a medical professional. So if that is something that you're experiencing and struggling with, it is a great idea to go and have a talk with them about options and, you know, consider medical, interventions, medication. Let's just go with that word. All right, because there is a lot of support out there when you know what you're experiencing. There is a lot of support out there. Okay, so let's talk about ways to increase and rebuild our dopamine levels. And remember that these are also the things recommended if you are experiencing or could be experiencing burnout, okay, or recovering from burnout. So we've got exercise. Now, physical activity is known to improve mood. It also produces dopamine. I want to stipulate here that it must be something you enjoy. If you go to the gym and get yourself on the rowing machine and you fucking hate the rowing machine, then that is, yes, going to produce a little bit of dopamine, but nowhere near as much as if you get on, say, the stepper, if you enjoy the stepper. There is a thing called a stepper, right? I don't know. What's the one with the like arms and legs going? Like the cross trainer, that's it. I hate that thing, but like I love the treadmill, right? So for me, if I'm going to the gym or even like I just generally go outside, I will go for a run or I'll go for a walk. Those are activities, physical activities I enjoy. And when we enjoy it, we produce even more dopamine. Okay, so exercise. For me, what this looks like is I go for a walk every morning and every afternoon. Sometimes I will jog. It's not a lot at the moment because I'm still really focused on doing things I really want to do, and I haven't wanted to jog a lot. I've been using that more so when I need additional dopamine in my system to complete specific things. So I've just been really focusing on walking and power walking and being out in nature, and that has been really good for me at rebuilding my dopamine levels and improving like lots of different things. Eating protein is another one. So protein, specifically lean protein and unprocessed meats, it can help the body to produce dopamine. Okay, so protein-rich foods like eggs, chicken, fish, salmon, I think, is it sardines, I think? Those are the sorts of things that are recommended to help in the production of dopamine. Reduce saturated fat consumption, that's another one. So for those of us who love to have KFC every once in a while, just have it less often, that's all. So pay attention to gut health. Probiotics are recommended. And I don't know that there is proven studies that it definitely helps, but it is thought to help. So paying attention to your gut health definitely can support the production of dopamine. Good quality sleep is a big one. Don't be afraid to use naps, but work on getting as much sleep as possible and supporting yourself in there's lots of different things we can do to support ourselves to getting more sleep. So one of the things I was doing when I was addicted to, you know, having my iPad and my Netflix on 24/7 is I was literally watching, I was practically glued to it. I think I even took it to the toilet, like, don't tell anyone, although I'm telling a lot of people. But, and I would fall asleep with it at night, like I would have it there, right next to my face by my pillow, and I would just fall asleep with it, and I'd turn it off when I woke up at some point. So that is something that was not supporting my good quality sleep that I have since stopped doing a long time ago. But another thing that is recommended is avoiding artificial lights between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. That helps with dopamine production and also serotonin and circadian rhythms and all of these sorts of things that support sleep. Another one here is getting a good amount of sunlight, an appropriate amount of sunlight. But sunlight, especially before 10 a.m., also supports us with sleep and circadian rhythm and those sorts of things. But sunlight and also helps us with mood and vitamin D and all those kinds of things. So you know how, SADS, seasonal affective disorder, where when you, and I experienced this when I was living in London, I experienced it quite severely, where I would go to work and it would be pitch black and I'd sit at my office at 9 a.m. and eventually the sun would come up, and at 4 p.m. it was pitch black again. I'd leave my office and go home in the dark. And so there was like not a lot of daylight. And in order to go outside during the day, I was surrounded by tall, dark gray office buildings. And most of the time it was gray or raining outside during winter. So getting an appropriate amount of sunlight is really important, and that's why, you know, many people experience SADS and seasonal affective disorder. And you can take supplements if that is the case. You can, you know, there is artificial forms of light that you can sort of research to use to support yourself in getting sunlight. Even in winter here, like, I make a real effort when it is sunny, even though it's cold, to get outside and get sunlight in. Okay. Listening to music you enjoy. There's some real cool studies around how, you know, specific sounds and songs create an emotional reaction in us. So don't pick anything sad. Pick something you enjoy that is, you know, something you like listening to that is proven to also promote dopamine. Cold water therapy. I know I've talked about it on the podcast before, but that is really good at increasing and rebuilding dopamine. Orgasms is another one. Avoiding big spikes in dopamine. So anything you do that, like, you know, jumping out of a plane would cause a huge spike in dopamine. What goes up also comes down and drops below baseline. And if we are already in the negative, we don't want to go more into the negative. Okay. Avoiding melatonin, which is a common supplement people take for sleep. Avoid that because it can actually have, there are studies that show it can have a negative impact on dopamine. Another one here, where possible, avoid things that you don't enjoy. So if you've got the opportunity to focus on things that you enjoy, whether that be in your work or, you know, in your personal life, wherever possible, avoid those things that you don't enjoy and require a lot of you. The more things we don't like doing that we, you know, end up having to do, the more that takes out of us. Okay. Caffeine is another one that promotes the, it's like a lubricant for dopamine, but for some people it also produces some dopamine as well. It kind of has a double effect. Omega-3 fatty acids, it needs to be the 1,000 milligram EPAs. So I made the mistake last time, no, not last time, the time before when I ordered them, and I got a cheaper brand, and it did not have 1,000 milligram EPA. If you're in New Zealand, the Nordic Natural brand does. Another one here is to limit your cell phone use. So many of us know that our cell phones are quite addictive, and they've got all the pings and dings and notifications and endless, you know, kind of dopamine. So definitely recommend having some breaks. I have Sunday 9 to 5 where I'm not completely off my phone, but I don't use any of the social media apps, and I don't use, you know, any of any of the email things. You know what I mean. I just use it to communicate with family and friends, purely to organize people I'm going to see and do things with on that Sunday. But I also take deliberate time off and away from my cell phone. My partner is really good at doing this. He'll just turn it on flight mode or turn it off and just leave it in a drawer for like an entire day. And I highly recommend that, where possible, limit your cell phone use, put it in a different room, in a drawer, that kind of a thing, because it often can have a negative impact on dopamine. All right, last one I think I've got here is L-tyrosine. So you can eat foods that are naturally high in L-tyrosine or rich in L-tyrosine, or you can actually take a supplement for it. I do both. I take a supplement, and I also eat foods like almonds, avocados, I think bananas is another one, eggs, chicken. I can't remember what else. You'd have to Google it. So those are things that you can do, and that will also help to naturally increase dopamine levels. So there's a lot of things that we can do that are pretty simple or pretty easy, just little changes and tweaks we can make to our diets, you know, little changes and tweaks that we can make to even supplements that we're taking. A lot of things that we can do to support the production of dopamine to increase and rebuild those levels. Okay. The last one I want to add is having your own back. Treat yourself the way you would treat someone that you love and care about who was in this position. If you are struggling with apathy, with, you know, possibly being in dopamine debt, be mindful of how you would treat somebody else in this position, because beating yourself up and being hard on yourself will not help you to make the process of rebuilding your dopamine levels any quicker. If anything, it's probably going to hinder your progress and the process. Okay, you can't hate your way to happiness, and you can't criticize yourself back to health. Okay, instead, have your own back. Be kind to yourself, my friend. And lastly, if you're ready to change your life for the better and to start achieving the goals that you've been unable to reach for so long, come and coach with me. This is not a quick fix. It is not a magic pill. It is real, no BS coaching, support, and well-researched information to help you become the boss of your ADHD and ultimately your life. Okay. For more information on that, visit my website, zenajones.com/coaching. All right, my friend, have a beautiful week. Huge love to you all. I'll see you soon. Hey, friend, I know exactly what it's like to feel frustrated and confused with your ADHD and to wish that you could better understand what the hell is going on in your brain. And that's exactly why I created my coaching program, Thriving with ADHD. Inside Thriving with ADHD, you learn a step-by-step process to set and finally achieve your goals, to understand yourself and your ADHD. It's where you learn to feel better and manage your emotions and create systems and processes that work for you with your ADHD brain. This is designed for you to learn how to thrive with ADHD so you can create the life that you were meant to live. Visit zenajones.com/ADHD to learn more and book a consultation.